Welcome to Consumering. I'm your host, Rachel Martin. For everyone new, Consumering is a podcast where I bring you interviews with real people so you can have a pulse on emerging trends and consumer behaviors. My goal is to bring brands closer to the voice of their consumer. This week, I'm bringing you a conversation I had with two people about how they're getting through these uncertain times. Both men, but one is 22 and the other is 49. Let's hear how they're taking the social distancing and what they hope to take out of these uncertain times. I do apologize for the occasional screaming child in the background. Since I am working from home, it's my children in the background resisting homeschooling. I think a lot of my listeners can relate, so thanks for understanding. Okay, let's get started.
Yeah, my name is Jack. I'm 22 years old and I live in New York City.
Okay. 22. Okay. I can't remember what 22 was like. So what do you, I guess, like, to start us off, like, what's your current work life situation?
Yeah, so current work is just out of college, have a full-time job in Manhattan. That I commute to throughout the week. It's probably an 80-hour job in the transportation industry. And so it deals a lot with managing aircraft and making sure that they have to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be. So it handles a lot of aircraft logistics, compliance with FAA regulations, as well as optimization of what we do have available and access to.
How did you get into that?
So I was a finance major in college, went on the traditional investment banking route, and honestly didn't love it. I didn't like the fact that I wasn't interacting with people on a day-to-day basis. Oftentimes it was slow, and a lot of the stuff that I was working on would get scrapped by my manager. And so through a friend of a friend, heard about the current company that I'm working at and thought that it was a really cool experience to meet the rich and the famous, but also to have a job that I had full responsibility in the day-to-day actions of the company. And so it's a lot faster paced. It's a lot more responsibility and things that I'm in charge of on my plate. And it's something that I did an internship with it for about 3 months, fell in love with it, and now have been with the company for about a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting. So I guess, like, okay, it was an 80-hour work week. Now you're at home. So yes. How did it change?
Yeah.
Because so, I think when we talked, you were still going in.
Yes.
Every day.
Yep, absolutely. And so I would say that things changed the week that the NBA, the NHL, March Madness all canceled. It was a massive week for us in terms of change in the tremendous amount of turnover that we saw of people that were comfortable coming into the office in Manhattan and those that weren't. We came to a compromise as a company that this is a time that I think that our flyers, our colleagues are all going to look back on and reflect, and those that were strong and persevered and came up with new opportunities are going to be remembered a lot better than those that just immediately closed up their doors, went home, and didn't provide anything. Mm-hmm. And so as a company, while we were still together, we came up with a lot of different things that we could do to help out the general community, as well as ensure that our employees and our flyers, as well as our pilots and operators, were being as safe as possible. And so a few things that we threw together, we made sure that every flyer, starting in early March, went through non-contact temperature screenings. Every aircraft cabin was sanitized before each flight. Passenger helicopter microphones were removed, and we installed touchless hand sanitizer in every single one of our lounge locations. On top of that, we recognized that the past 2 weeks, and what was at that time the future 2 weeks, was going to be a time that a lot of individuals and organizations were going to be in need. We actually do a lot of organ transplant flights where we transplant hearts, lungs, kidneys for several different hospitals throughout the Manhattan area. And so those saw a definite uptick. And I think it was really good for us to be able to service a lot of those missions overnight and make sure that those organ transplants were going as well as possible while the hospitals still had the capability to do those. And so we definitely saw a spike in those and were able to service a lot of those missions. On top of that, we offered a transfer of cargo, oftentimes free of cost to the flyer. And so we ran missions from Long Island and Manhattan, delivering several people's medical supplies, clothing, things that they left behind in Manhattan as they were escaping out to houses out on Long Island. And so that was a really nice service that we were able to put together. And again, a few of those times we were able to do it at no cost to the flyer, which was really nice to be able to give back. And then finally, we actually put together a full program and made our heavy jet accessible fleet available at cost to anyone that needed to get back from oftentimes a foreign location. And so that led to a couple of different repatriation acts where we were able to bring home Americans from overseas and across borders back home during this crisis, especially as a lot of the countries were shutting down their borders. And there was a lot of logistics that had to go into it, but it was something that we wanted to do at cost just to make sure that we were giving back and doing the right thing. On top of that, as in terms of just general daily living, obviously I am working from home now. I have been working from home since last Tuesday. I spent the first week still in my Manhattan apartment and then made the decision to commute out to our suburban house in Connecticut. And so I now work from my basement here in Connecticut. I'm on my computer starting at 8 a.m, readily handling any flights that we do have. And then we have a company-wide Zoom meeting that we all get together. Our management team goes through and gives a run through of any updates from the previous day. And that's about a 15 to 20 minute meeting, just recapping everyone. And then everyone breaks out into their divisional Zoom rooms, I guess. And so our operations team is in that room until about 6:30, oftentimes working on long-term partnerships, contracts with operators, and ensuring that the people that we did have employed and working, that we're still servicing them and providing them an opportunity to make a living.
Yeah, no, it sounds like your company has really, you know, stepped up to the plate and making sure that it's like a brand people come back to. And I think that's going to be really important. I think a lot of companies have been like, you know, sort of like, woe is me, no one's going to be spending any money. But it's like, okay, think about how you can continue to engage with people and help them out during this time. And I think all of your efforts are really, really amazing. So you had an apartment, or you have an apartment in the city, and you decided to move back out to Connecticut. Is that where you're originally from?
Yes, born and raised in Connecticut, and my family still lives out here. And so it was an easy escape to just take a car and come out to Connecticut, just to get away from the madness of what New York City is right now.
Yeah. So wait, when did you go?
Yeah, so I stopped working. Last Monday was the last day that I was in office. I spent Tuesday through Friday of that week working from my apartment in Manhattan. And then on Saturday, drove home to Connecticut. And so I've been here.
What was that moment when you were like, I have to get out of Manhattan?
Yeah. So I was one where, as a 22-year-old in good health, I felt very comfortable that even though this virus is serious and definitely.
Sorry. Yeah. Can you hold on? I have no problem. Children screaming. So, I guess you were saying, you know, like, as a healthy young man living in, so start there.
Yeah. So as a 22-year-old in good health, I felt very comfortable with my situation. I know that this does pose a serious threat, but seeing a lot of the research that's been done on who's been affected in foreign countries, as well as here in the United States, I felt pretty comfortable with my situation and was ready to kind of ride out the storm in New York. I had a full fridge. Every first aid kit that I needed was readily available. I think that the real change occurred when my family gave me a call altogether and said, look, we know that you're going to be most likely okay as, again, a 22-year-old in good health. But what if you're out going for a run and you sprain your ankle? What if you're on a city bike going around the tip of Manhattan and you have to swerve because a car gets in front of you and you break your wrist? The real likelihood is that if I'm going to a hospital, I won't be seen for a long time. And it's probably not the best place that you want to be hanging out during a breakout like this. And so they said, look, come out to the suburbs of Connecticut. This is where my full-time physician is. This is where the hospitals that I've grown up to when I've broken my ankle, broken my wrist, separated my shoulder. So they have all my medical records, and hopefully they'll be able to see me a little bit quicker than a lot of what will likely become a lot of overcrowded hospitals in Manhattan. And so I decided that was the breaking point and said, all right, that's probably the smart decision. Came home and obviously have parents that are a little bit older, have an older sister, and decided to kind of distance myself as much as possible, living under the same roof. And so have pretty much set up shop here in my basement, have my laptop, my chargers, my books, my TV, everything that I need is kind of down here in the basement, and just try to limit the amount of time that I'm physically interacting with them. Just for the first couple of, I wouldn't say we'll make it all the way to 14 days, but I would say a good 9 or 10, just to make sure that at least we're trying our best to limit the amount of physical contact. And that means constant washing of hands. I have multiple hand sanitizers down here just to take the necessary precautions to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like as a 22-year-old male in good health, what was your, you know, it sounds like you're not like the spring break goers in Florida thinking that this has been blown out of proportion, but like what was your outlook on the social distancing initially? You know, was it like, I don't need to because I'm young and healthy? Or was it like, no, this shit is serious? Like,
I think that
total honesty.
Yeah, I think that my initial reaction is if I was in college, I would 100% take this as an opportunity to say, my time is very limited here. I have oftentimes a maximum of 4 years, and this is a time that is a great opportunity to be social, to go out, to go on those spring breaks, to have fun and make those memories. I think that I'm 1 year removed from that. And so I got very lucky because I wouldn't trade my college experience for the world. And to be 100% honest, if I was in college, I still would have gone on my spring break. I still would have gone to all those social gatherings and parties and made the most out of what was going to be the last of my college experience. So I'm not one that's going to fault them for going out and taking advantage of that. I got into the mindset of, again, working long weeks, 80 to 100 hours, where my free time often happened on Friday and Saturday nights. And I recognized the kind of severity of this being in Manhattan, where I would say is the epicenter here in the United States of where this is all unfolding. And so hearing Mayor de Blasio, hearing Governor Cuomo come in and make these kind of large demands made me recognize quickly the severity of the situation. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I wasn't going out that much anyway. And to make, honestly, it's probably going to save me a little bit of money. It's going to give me a chance to kind of reset from taking Ubers home at 6, 7, 8 p.m. at night after going into the office at 7 in the morning and dealing with flights at 6 in the morning from my apartment. And so, honestly, it gives me a good chance to reset. But I think from the beginning of it, especially looking overseas at Italy and South Korea and even Hong Kong, about how they kind of started to do a little bit better and then crash back into the madness of this all, I think that the severity was pretty apparent. I was not in the group of 22-year-olds that was on South Beach or on a Caribbean island partying, but I'm not one that's going to fault them at all, because I definitely would have been one of those people had I still been in the college mindset. But again, being 1 year out of college, maybe not necessarily making the best money in the world, living in Manhattan, it was an opportunity for me as well to go inside, save some money, and kind of take this on for the long haul, because there's nothing that's really constraining me going forward. Mm-hmm. I still have the full belief that come September, October, while things might not be what we classified as normal, they're going to be a lot more normal than they are now. And I still will have the opportunity to take advantage of the bars, of the atmosphere of New York.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about this, like, reset, because I think a lot of people are doing that. I think a lot of people are, you know, this is the real opportunity to, like, slow down, but also, like, explore things that they haven't had an opportunity to explore. Yeah, so tell me more about this, like, reset.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does it mean to you?
I think that sitting in your basement, not talking to many people throughout the day, really gives you an opportunity to recognize how long a day truly is and how much opportunity there is to go out and learn new things and try new things and do stuff that you love. I was in such a routine where it was wake up early, be online, be checking things for work, be at the office, work all day, come home from the office, maybe play a video game with my roommate and go to bed. It was such a set routine that I was almost acting robotic. And so now, living at home, I can honestly tell you that I have not read a book for fun since probably high school. Throughout college, it was either a textbook, which was a skim, or go hang out with your friends. And I would much rather choose that second option. But since being home, I've now finished 5 books.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I've been reading a lot, which has been really cool. I've been loving being able to get back into reading and taking advantage of that. Walking our family dog, our golden retriever, around the block.
Oh, I love golden retrievers.
Yeah, it's been great because you walk around outside and go for a noon walk and you see kids on their bikes. And I think back to the time of me growing up. And yeah, when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, I would ride the bike around the neighborhood. But come 8, 9, 10 and on all the way through high school, I was constantly dragged to hockey practices, to baseball practices, to guitar lessons, to different after school programs. And I think that so many kids got caught up in their schedule at such a young age. And now it's just refreshing to go out and see them racing bikes down the street and not really racing to the next activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I've noticed is, you know, you talk about this, like, reset, but I think, like, a lot of people have also seen it as, like, it's like a vacation. I can, you know, just stay in my sweats all day and eat junk food, and because I think it's, like, just seeking comfort wherever possible. What's your outlook on sweatpants?
Yeah, I think that when you look at it, I'm sitting here in sweatpants and a t-shirt, and I think that that's completely fine. I know that there are a ton of people at my company that are treating this as a vacation. There's not a ton going on logistically. And they're treating this as time off where they get to drink a bottle of wine at night and sit in their sweatpants and kind of video with their friends and not really have many responsibilities. And I definitely think that that is something that is completely acceptable in this time. I'm of the mindset where if I become, or at least I think I'm becoming stagnant, I become frustrated with myself. And so while I'm definitely taking a lot more time to myself during what some people are considering a vacation, I'm considering it almost a correction to reflect on what I was doing wrong and what I can do better once we get back to normal, if we ever get back to normal. So I'm of the mindset where, yeah, it's completely okay to sit in front of the video screen with your t-shirt and sweatpants on with a blanket around you and slippers on. I think that that's fine. I think that not having to commute an hour each way a day, not having to get dressed in the morning, is definitely a big time saver. And I can use that time to do a lot of other stuff. As I said, I've been reading a ton, but I'm also of the mindset of, and I think it's very reflective of the company mindset as well, is this is a time that you can either shut your doors, shut her down, and take the time for yourself, or it's an opportunity to really think hard about what the next phase of life is going to look like. And so I don't want to be caught flat-footed where I get into a bad routine and then get shocked when I do have to go back into the office, and shocked when things do turn back on. And I have nothing on my plate to offer. I have nothing on my resume within the company to really say, look, this is what I've been doing. I've made progress here. I've made progress here. This deal fell apart. So I'm of the mindset of, even though it's completely fine to sit in sweatpants and maybe skip a few days here and there working out and maybe have an extra bottle of wine throughout the entire week than you normally would, I'm not really one to like to sit stagnant.
So I like how you said this word, like, correction. How do you imagine, and I know it's sometimes like hard to know how you're actually going to behave when you get back to normal, but how do you imagine, like, what do you think you will take from this period?
I definitely, one, will take my reading. I think that this has really gotten me back into that. I'm really excited about a ton of new books that I've already ordered online and hopefully kind of itching to get them here. So that's one. Two is, I think this makes you reflect on how much or how little you were taking advantage of the times where you did have free time. I think specifically in Manhattan can be a very lonely place if you don't know many people. Even though it's filled with millions, you can often feel isolated there. And so I have a ton of people that I'm friends with that I haven't seen in 2-3 months. And this time off is a time for me to reflect and be like, oh, wow, yeah, I got drinks with them in December before Christmas, and it's now going to be April, and I haven't seen them since. And so I think that this is an opportunity where if I was going through my day-to-day life, I might just hit them up and say, hey, you want to go grab a beer and watch a sports game? And now when that's kind of coming up in my mind, I don't have that opportunity to. And so I think that going forward, I'm going to make a point of it to not let these things go 3-4 months. I'm going to make a point of it to let it go a month at max, just to stay in contact with those people. Just because if you haven't spent 3 months together with them and now this coronavirus is not allowing you to see anyone, that could stretch into 4 months, 5 months. And then asking them to go grab a beer isn't as normal as it would have been 6 months than it would be for 2 months. So I think that it makes you reflect on your relationships. The fact that it was a given that you could just meet up with someone and watch a sports game and bond over that, no matter how long apart you guys had been. And I think that I'm really not going to take that for granted as I have in the past.
How have you stayed in touch with your friends?
Yeah. So I've been lucky, again, as a 22-year-old kid with a bunch of tech savvy friends. I've been on video chats probably every night, sometimes 2-3 times a night with just different groups. And so a group of my friends from high school oftentimes likes to have a happy hour where we get together on a group FaceTime and just kind of talk about what's going on. A few of them have escaped to Florida and are living down there because there's no point to be up in the rainy, colder New York weather. And so it's great to catch up with them. I have a group of friends that half of them had, I don't even know what to call them, maybe graduated, still seniors in college, that aren't going to college. But it's interesting. I've been calling them and seeing how they've been handling the situation. And then I obviously have my really tight group of friends from college, and I've FaceTimed them one-on-one individually. I think what I've noticed is that there's a big difference in the way that we've communicated. Previously, we had talked in our group chat via text a lot. We had, if someone saw an article, they would send it in the group chat and we would text about it throughout the entire day, because everyone knew that sometimes at 5 p.m., one person had just left work, one person was still at work, one person was in a conference meeting at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that now that everyone kind of knows that we're off isolated, that picking up the phone and calling each other and actually speaking to each other has been a lot more prevalent than it has in the past. Just because previously, at times I was like, yeah, I'm a little nervous, I'm a little afraid, I don't want to call him if he's giving a presentation to his manager. I don't want to call him if he's out on a date with a new girl. But now those aren't really excuses to not call them anymore. And so I definitely have been speaking more one-on-one via the phone, via FaceTime than I have, I think, ever before.
And so what have been some of your favorite books that you've read?
Yeah, so I actually have been, I started out on a Dan Brown kick. And so I read The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons. Mm-hmm. So absolutely love both of those books. Fictional page turners, but I love the fact that they were based in a lot of reality. So the fact that he did his research was something that I really enjoyed and tied it into a story rather than just a true nonfiction book stating the facts or a true fiction book of taking you on this epic journey. It was intertwined. And so it was kind of cool to try to pick out what was real and what was not. Mm-hmm. After reading both of those books, I went on and reread Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. Absolutely one of my favorites. And so was able to kind of rip through that book pretty quickly. And then upon recommendation from one of my friends that I went to college with, and now lives in Manhattan as well, I transitioned over to William McRaven's books. He wrote the, I guess is oftentimes known in the public sphere for his commencement speech that he gave at Texas, saying, okay, if you want to change the world, make your bed in the morning. And so I rewatched that clip after my friend recommended it and bought his books, Make Your Bed, which pretty much gives the 10 things that he mentioned in the speech and expands on them with stories, oftentimes coming from his Navy SEAL training out in Coronado, California. And then quickly after finishing that one, I actually read that one in about 2 hours.
Oh my God, what is your trick?
I sat and read that book. It was great. And then moved on to his book called Sea Stories. Okay. And that was pretty much a memoir about his time throughout the Navy. He was one of the ones that was holding Saddam Hussein over in the Middle East. He was the one that helped facilitate the I guess freeing of Captain Phillips off the coast of Somalia when he was dealing with Somalian pirates, and then he also helped facilitate and orchestrate the killing of Osama bin Laden, Operation Neptune Spear. And so hearing his firsthand accounts of stuff as small as graduating from Texas and doing ROTC, or even as small as a kid, his father was in the military and he would run around the barracks and go explore, and being so immersed in the military lifestyle was really interesting to hear. But the immense patriotism that he has and the mindset of nothing's going to ever make me quit, no matter how hard it is, no matter if he's neck deep in mud in Navy SEAL training, or he sees one of his fellow soldiers killed in battle, severely injured in battle, his saying was never ring the bell, never mm-hmm. quit. And so it was a really good motivational book.
Yeah.
Highly recommend anyone
to go that's wonderful.
Listen to Admiral McRaven.
Yeah, my goal during this time is, so I think the hardest part for me is like I am like a gym rat, and when the gyms closed down, I mean, I think like the last day I went to the gym was like March 12th. And after that, I was like, okay, I need to take this seriously. And that was like the, you know, I honestly got a pit in my stomach with the thought of like not working out, but it's like opened my eyes to all these other forms of exercise. And so that's been like so, so important to me during this time. It's like my sanity.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I I'm actually a member of two gyms in Manhattan. One
Which
through work.
gyms? Well, you don't have
Yes,
to tell
so
me,
I'm a
but
member of a gym over in East Village, closer to where I live. And then through work, I have a membership at Chelsea Piers on the
okay,
west
I
side.
hear that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility, two kind of sun decks overlooking the river. It's absolutely gorgeous over there. Massive rock climbing wall, track,
Yeah.
boxing, basketball, anything that you can ask for. And so I was used to, again, being in that mindset of going to the gym right after work, and then going home, cooking dinner, and going from there. Currently, on our company-wide video chats, we do have the option to join together on video and do a Pilates class 3 times a week. So I personally haven't taken advantage of that yet, but definitely will. And then have definitely gotten back into running. Have been running a lot in the mornings, just because, again, my body clock is up and ready, as it normally would be. And so going on runs around the neighborhood, as well as I still have a few of the weights from when I was in high school on on some varsity teams. And I have some weights down here in the basement that I've been using, which has been nice, but
Yeah.
definitely not anywhere near.
Mentioned a lot of the pluses to this reset period. It's not all great. You know, what are the downfalls?
Yeah, I think that there are a ton of downfalls that I've seen within my industry as well as across my friend group. And a ton of people are getting furloughed. A ton of people are getting laid off. And they were furloughed and laid off before they know what the official government bill is going to look like. And so these people are struggling because they were expecting things to kind of continue to go as great as they were January, February of this year. I know people with a ton of money tied up in equities that have seen that collapse on itself. And so a lot of people are struggling. A ton of my friends are out of jobs. They don't necessarily know what this bill gets them. They don't necessarily know where to go to get hired. Our company has put a full freeze on new hires. I know pilots that are now out of jobs. I know dispatchers that are out of jobs. I know line technicians that are out of jobs. So I think that it's really going to affect a lot of people. And then if you look at it on a macro scale, there are a lot of smaller companies that, and even larger companies that fully rely on the constant revenue stream coming in, and they won't be able to make a lot of their debt payments. And so I wonder how much relief is going to be given to them by whoever's holding those loans, whether it be banks, whether it be the government. I know that the government has pushed interest payments on student loans, but to be honest, I haven't fully read through the nitty-gritty of that to know exactly what that'll mean for me, for some of my friends. And so it's a confusing time. I think that a lot of people are lost and don't necessarily know where to turn. And I think that's what they're struggling with the most is if they knew in what we called a quote unquote normal time, if you were out of a job, then you take these steps to get back into one. Now the uncertainty is what I think is clawing away at people. And I think that a lot of people are more afraid of the unknown than anything that is happening in real life. And so just the fact that they don't know where to turn, they don't know who to ask, and it seems that no one seems to know the answer is what's freaking people out a lot more than, I guess, changes in their day-to-day life.
Any downsides for you, though?
For me, obviously, business, everyone's kind of grinded to a halt. Being in the transportation industry, we've really seen a downturn. And so, my personal goals within the company for the year are completely shattered. There's no way I hit sales figures that I wanted to hit. There's no way that I hit flight totals that I wanted to hit. So I'm lucky enough to have been in a position to be retained within the company. But a lot of the things that my bonuses, my raises at the end of the year that we're going to be fully targeted on can be completely thrown out the window. And so I've been of the mindset where that's completely okay. I'm grateful to still be employed and still have the opportunity to work every day. and have a constant income to be able to pay my rent, to be able to pay whatever bills I may have. But obviously, I think come Christmas time, when a lot of people see those bonuses roll in, I think that they're going to be non-existent this year. And mm-hmm. so some of the trips that I had planned on taking later in the year overseas, one, I think those are ruined because of just the current atmosphere that we live in, especially in Europe. But two, I just don't think that the money coming in would be enough to be able to justify going on an expensive trip like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about, are you dating or in a relationship? What's your scene?
Yeah. So that's another big downside is I'm in a long-term relationship, long distance relationship. My girlfriend goes to med school in Florida. And so I had trips to see her in Florida. We had a full week trip that was going to be to Nashville. We're supposed to be in Nashville right now. So I haven't seen her since mid-February. We were going to see each other kind of once per month until the summer when she had a few fellowships up in the New York area. But now we don't know the next time that we'll see each other. And so that definitely puts a strain on things. Having all the buildup and all the lead up to a week long trip. We're both lovers of country music, and that kind of crash on itself. It was definitely disappointing. I think that we've both taken it in stride and understand the reality of what the world is now. But to say that we weren't disappointed or upset that we didn't get to see each other would just be lying. And so that's definitely put a strain on things. Speaking of her, I mean, being in a lab, actually being able to examine organs and peel away the human body to really get to know these things in and out is surely going to have an impact on her med school. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of her facilitators don't know exactly how they're going to test med students. They don't know exactly how step exams are going to go. They don't know how matching day is going to go going forward. Mm. So there are a lot of uncertainties that are still out there. And so having her struggle with the unknown on her end probably has been more difficult than anything on my end. I've been able to kind of work remotely. A lot of my job I can oftentimes do from my phone. And so this transition for me and my work and personal life has been a little bit more normal than it has been for a lot of people, and specifically her. She's definitely struggled with it.
Mm-hmm. So to close this out, if you were to summarize this period of your life, what would you say?
I think this is a period in my life, and I think it's a period in everyone my age's life, that it's the first real crisis that a 22-year-old male in America has really fully understood and had to be a part of. I was too young for 9/11. I was lucky enough to really not have to face the realities of 2008 and the financial crisis. And this is the first time that I've been asked to sacrifice for the greater good. It's one where I look back and we're not going to war. We're not going World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, where people 18 to 26, 28 are being forced to go overseas and fight battles. I take it as I'm being asked to stay home, and that's my sacrifice for the greater good. I take it as I'm extremely grateful that that's all I have to do, seeing as generations past have had to do a lot more than that. And I think it's, again, going to be a great time for reflection. I think that I'm hitting this at the perfect time where I'm not upset that I'm missing college. I'm not upset that I have to deal with children not at school. I'm a young kid just into the workforce who can really treat this as an opportunity where I don't have a lot of other things burdening me right now. And so it's a great time to reflect. And as I called it, it's a correction time to look at what my life was over the first year, year and a half of professional life and make the adjustments that I want to see going forward. And I think that that's in my personal life is reaching out and making more of those personal connections and seeing each other on a more consistent basis. I think reading more, educating myself more, not letting my education stop in college, but letting it continue on. And then professionally, I think it's it's learning how to manage a lot of people that might be dealing with businesses that are going to go under or people that are going to be laid off. And so really accepting the gravity of this and not forgetting it for when we do go back to normal, whether that be in May or whether that be in October or next year, just never forgetting these low moments, just so that I can kind of neutralize myself when hopefully things are on the too high aspect of things.
Great. Well, Jack, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck with both projects going forward.
Thank you, and stay well.
Awesome. Sounds good. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My next interview is with Roland, a 49-year-old living in New York City. He has a very different outlook on the current pandemic. So if you're offended by it, I'm sorry, but I think it's important to show a bit of variety in how people are coping.
We'll jump right into the whole Corona thing. It's actually been kind of good for me. I'm riding the wave, and I'm good.
The wave. Okay, right? we'll dive right into that. But for the purposes of this recording, I would just love to have you introduce yourself, your first name, your age, and where you live.
Roland. I live in Manhattan in Chelsea in New York City. And yeah, is that it? Yeah.
And your age?
48.
48. Okay. How are you doing? I mean, I will tell you how I'm doing as well, but
I have so much to say on the subject, so yeah. You're gonna get your 45 minutes worth.
So I think I actually want to start with, you know, like when we talked, I guess, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I feel like you might have had a different mentality, but you were like going on a date.
Right. Yeah.
And so I want to kind of understand, you know, sort of like how things have changed.
Well, yeah. Well, no more dates. Cause I mean, look, it's gotten a lot worse in terms of the numbers, here in New York. I still am a believer in the fact that this is going to pass, especially with all of the like draconian measures that the country, that the state and the city have put into effect. I mean, people are distanced. No one sees anybody. You can't go on any dates anymore. Everything is on hold. Everything's closed except for supermarkets and banks. And when I get off from you, I'm going to go where I can go. I'm going to go, I need to pick up a shirt from the laundry. I wonder if they're open. They pick up the laundry.
My laundromat
there you
is
go.
Closed.
So that'll probably, it's nothing, not that I need it. It was just something to do. You guys, oh yeah, I got a shirt in the laundry. Then going to go to the bank because in another thing, I realized, you know, with this hair that I've got, I'm losing it up here. So I always like to get a haircut every week. Barbershops are closed. Luckily enough, a good friend of mine that worked for my barber but moved to another barbershop, he's doing house calls. So he'll be here tomorrow to give me the haircut. So I got that covered. So then after the bank, then I'm going to drugstores. Need to go pick up a few things. That's open. Then go pick up some fruit at the fruit stand. The guy, he's doing his business. Come back home. That'll be it. You know, I'm just working around it. I'm getting my workouts in. I did go. I consistently go to the gym every week, and I would an hour of weights, and then 15 minutes in the pool, and then a mile run home. Can't do that. So what I did was I improvised around it. I developed a set of exercises that I can do in my apartment for 45 minutes. Intense sit-ups and push-ups and some curling stuff with stuff here in the apartment. Then I run. I upped my run from a mile to 3 miles to work out the legs. And then right across the street, there's this great park that's got a little gym area where I can do with bars and pull-up bars. And somebody contributed some dumbbells, which nobody touches. So there's some dumbbells over there.
Right.
Nobody touches them. So I've got, I get my workout. My workouts are covered. And I'm saving money. I'm an actor here in New York. And unemployment benefits just got extended. And the amount that we can get is going to go up by a considerable amount. I live in this beautiful apartment of mine, which is a performing artist building in Chelsea. And my rent is it's only about $550 a month. I know.
Wow. Wait, and it's always been that way?
You have to win it. You have to qualify for it in a lottery. And okay. You have to prove that you work in the performing arts, but it's a $3,500 apartment that you get for a big subsidy. So, you know, do a couple of these, talk to people like you. I'm going to get this, you know, a $1,200 check in a week. Unemployment benefits are extended, and the weekly benefit is going to go up $600 a week for 4 months. I'm good.
Yeah.
Write it out. You know, the dates are cut off, but that's all right. I'm keeping this money in my pocket. So sit at home and put the money aside, put it away.
When did I so first of all, did you go on that date?
Yeah, I did go on the date. But things weren't shut down at that point. Yeah. That was a week ago. It was almost 2 weeks ago. So, and it was right after, it was that weekend, because it was the 5th, it was the Ides of March, it was the 15th, and it was slowly after, it was like Monday, Tuesday, by Wednesday of that week, of last week, that's when things started really just shutting down. So that by last weekend, you got me, there was nothing, as it is now.
And when did you sort of take it seriously? When were you like, okay, I really need to socially distance myself from people?
I mean, I still don't, you know, I take it in pieces as it comes. So it's like, and you know, as the numbers started to go up, they started to shut one thing after another. So first it was, all right, we're going to shut down the bars and restaurants. I was like, oh God. All right. So the only place you can order delivery. So you can get delivery from places like BBQ or any restaurant that's decided to stay open, or pizza places stay open. Subway, you can go to Subway, you know, Subway sandwich. So that shut down. So I was like, all right, so I incorporated that into my life. Then it started to get tricky. And then I kept my fingers crossed. I was like, they're not going to shut the gyms, are they? Because gyms are where you go to build up your immunities. And
But they are also, yes, but they are also.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. Yeah, you know, I'm part of the blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, I know as the measures came in, I incorporated each one of them as they were put upon me. So it was like, okay, no gym. All right, what am I going to do? I looked up exercises that I can do online, and then I went over to the park and I saw, that's, you know, I worked around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things why I'm using this as a positive time for me. So I've always been that type of a person I've always been a glasses half full type of person. And I'm also very spiritual. Do a lot of praying. My dear mom, who I lost it'll be 2 years in May, but she left me with a lot of great life lessons. Like you just said, it's a little soon for the joke. And I was just joking. And she said, yeah, but she said,
I know.
And another thing, at first when I would see people walking around with the masks, and still, I don't know if I think the mask might be overkill, but My mom taught me two things that I take with me a lot. Every day I think about this. She said, always be tolerant of others and what they decide to do. If they want to wear the mask, rather than finding fault with them, you know, they're not hurting me. If you want to wear your mask, wear your mask. The inside of me wants to say, take the stupid mask off, but stop. Let them do their thing. If that makes you feel better and you live your life better that way, then good on you. And another thing is about, you know, compassion and being compassionate and, you know, realizing that other people are hurting from this. People, older folks who are prone to catch it, and people whose immunity systems might be compromised, might be more prone. Count your blessings. And the third thing she taught me was, she said, on a kind of a tangent here, but she said, always remember the closer and closer relationship you have with God, the more orderly and the more format you will see to your life. And the further and further away you find yourself in a relationship with God, you find the more chaotic your life will be. And for whatever that's worth, for me, being very spiritual benefits me, and it keeps me centered, focused, and aware, and mm-hmm. and more, you know, cognizant of using this time where if I have to be, you know, shut in, use that as a time to work on yourself so that when we get to the end of this, on the back end of this, I'm all the better for it and all the stronger. And I've learned, I've lived, I've grown. And when things come back to normal, I'll be like super rolling.
Yeah. It's, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday morning, and he, you know, he's a 22-year-old guy who lives in New York City, but he moved out. He is now in Connecticut with his parents, sort of riding out the storm. And he's like, he's using this time as sort of like a correction time, you know, to really sort of improve himself and think about like what he wants to take with him on the other side.
So all those things, if you put all those things together that I just mentioned, this is a good time for me, you know, for me, just me personally, you know, God mm-hmm. bless everybody else. And I in my prayers, you know, I'm a person, I actually get down on my knees and I pray. And at the end of, you know, my prayer sessions, you know, I'm praying for everybody that we all get through this, because this is not the end of the world mm-hmm. here. So again, but I told you, I'm a glasses half full kind of person. So that's how I envision it, you know, and I always look for the good in people. And I mean, this is a great city. People, for the most part, I mean, New Yorkers are the best, you know, the best of the breeds. They really are, you know. We're fun people. So I think that, you know, I think we'll all be better and stronger and even happier once this is all over. At least I hope so. We'll see right mm-hmm. now.
So have you started doing anything different? I mean, I know you're still praying, you're still working out. Are there any new behaviors that you've sort of like taken on?
Or I mean, really just other like than just more cautious about, but again, all these things I was already doing anyway. So when I come in, like if I've gone out in the street, I won't bring my hands to my face naturally. Like right now they even feel dirty. So I don't want to, I can feel the dirt on them. So I don't even want to touch my face. And I won't do that. So no, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to wear any masks. Mm-hmm. It's just not for me. I won't wear gloves. What I will do is when I go, I thought about this, but I'm all produced up. But I think that normally I would just like to squeeze peppers to see if the peppers are nice and firm. But now I'll use a plastic bag to squeeze them, rather than just touching them with my hands. Mm-hmm. So I'm just a little more, but I'm really haven't changed much. I'm a little more aware of the distancing, but I'm not so, ooh, get away from me. I'm just a little more aware of it, mm-hmm. but nothing's really changed for me. And I just kind of do my thing, eat right, exercise, try and get some rest, follow the rules. And the thing is, you know, you have to follow the rules, not only because it's the right thing to do, you know, to get these numbers to decline. But, you know, if people find out that you're not following the rules, you'll be a social pariah. So ostracized and shut down. So you got to follow the rules. So people will come after you. If you don't. But it's the right thing to do.
Yes.
And you have to go along with, you know, we as a democratic society, that's what we've all decided is the right thing to do. So you got to go along with, you know, what democracy has dictated.
What would you, I want to kind of understand sort of like what you think about this period of your life, as well as, you know, the stock market crash in 2008, and then just like different periods of your like adult life. So 2008 and then 9/11. And just kind of understand, you know, like how does this feel different?
This is definitely like nothing I've ever felt, because even after 9/11, nothing shut down, or at least it was a couple of days. And then people were, you know, getting on with their regular lives. This is basically the whole country is, you know, the whole country is closed. Or at least most of the West Coast and most of the East Coast, where most people live, and little pockets in between, everything is like shut down and cut off, and everybody is told to stay away from everyone. So I've never seen anything like this ever. Nothing matches this. I don't even know, back during the pandemic of back in, what is it, 1917, 1918, I don't know how much distancing was implemented back then. But this seems, more drastic than even that probably was. So, but again, I'm the type of person, I'll just adapt to it, go with the flow. And I don't think, look, at the end of the day, this thing is it's the flu. It's not Ebola. You know, it's not something that's, you know, 80% of the people who get it have minor symptoms, and 90 some percent of the people who get it are going to recover. So you just got to get through it, you know. Look at the numbers of the people. How many people have died in the United States? We've only 600 people. That's not out of 300 million. We're not. It's, you just got a lot of sick people who got to get over this. So again, but I'm looking at his glasses half full. And you know how many people die from the regular flu every year? 30 to 60,000 every year die from the regular flu. So again, I think there's a lot of panic around this thing just because it's new, and you know, it seems to infect a little more readily than the normal flu, but people get over it, you know, and we just got to kind of nip the thing in the bud and move on. You know, it's not like a killer. It's just, you know, it's getting people who have low immunities and older folks, but I think that there's an end to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and hopefully, hopefully it's sooner rather than later. What are you going to take away from this?
Just to not take you know, the things that you have in life on your on a daily basis for granted, to really count your blessings. That's it. To not take your blessings for granted, to hopefully be stronger and better, you know, on the back end of this, so that I treat people better, live my life better. And you know, and really look around you and smell, you know, and smell the roses every day, and be happy, be happier. And again, treat people better and pay it forward more. I think it'll make you as a person happier, make other people happier, and just contribute to the all around positive, you know, zeitgeist of what's going on out in the world. Making yourself and others and the world a better place on the back end.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that you talk to like friends more, friends and like, I don't know if you have other family members more now?
It's kind of the same
before.
I've talked a few more, a lot of people have texted me, how you doing? I've texted a few more people, but not a whole lot more than usual. I have a family group on Facebook, and I had a cousin say who lives in Detroit. She was like, "Hey, Roland, how are you and Amir doing in New York?" And I was like, "Honey, I'm fine. I just got in from a 3-mile run. I'm no worries, you know." So it's just it's a little more checking up, but nothing, you know, nothing like be manic phone calls to this, that, and the other person. Just a few more texts here and there, a few more chats, but nothing. Mm-hmm. People just kind of riding it out, so it seems to me.
Yeah. Great. Well, I think that is actually everything. This has been really helpful, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. You've kind of
good.
Just like boosted
that's,
my mood.
That's my job.
This whole,
trust me, it's, you know, we'll get over it. You know, just think, it's just the flu. It's the flu. It's not like HIV was, which was like, you know, a killer for so many years. It's not Ebola. It's a strain of the flu that's going a little tougher on some folks. But look at the, you know, the numbers here in the States, and we've already taken the measures to stem it. So we're still, you know, between 500 and 1,000 deaths. We're still in the range of normalcy here. So people are going to pass away naturally. People pass away naturally all the time. So we're doing what we're supposed to do. We'll be fine. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a ghost town. Because I went out earlier. I went to the grocery store. There are people in the grocery store. Cars driving up and down the streets. It's a lot less, people than usual, but it's not like, you know, you walk outside and it's a scene from an apocalyptic movie. Yeah, that's it. So come on back home, dear.
Right.
Come on home. We miss you.
Yeah. Well, I live in the West Village, and there's like this popular, famous basketball court.
Yeah, right there.
And the West Forest basketball court, and just last week there were big games going on, and I'm like, people stop, and then
they last night they took down a lot of the basketball nets because people were still playing basketball. So you'll be socially shamed if you don't follow the rules. So not only are the powers that be, the president, the governor, the mayor, you know, they're taking their measures. But, you know, the people around you will keep you in line and shame you and distance you if you don't follow the rules. So you gotta do what's, giving me the evil eye.
Follow the rules.
So I'm being a good boy. I'm doing what's told. Taking all the benefits away from this that are there. Look for them and they are there. I'm saving money. I'm making a lot of money on the side. I'm getting in harder workouts. I'm spending great quality time on making me better. So it's a good time for me. And if I can make myself better and then pay that forward, you know, down the road, then this is a good time.
Yeah. Great. Well, Roland, thank you
so
much.
All right. You too. All right. Come home soon.
Take care.
All right.
Okay.
See you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. In addition to this episode, I've put together a presentation on how brands can meet their consumers' needs during these times. Please email me to schedule your free 10-minute presentation, rachel@remcalinsights.com. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in today. If you're looking to connect with your customer or even figure out who your customer is, email me, rachel@remcalinsights.com. If you like what you hear, please, please, please rate, review, subscribe, and share. See you next time on Consumering.